Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Dr. Atolabe.
Good afternoon, brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, I praise God.
Thank you so much for joining us. We missed you, man, last week. Technical issues on our side.
We did.
Yeah, man, I was actually worried because I was looking forward to this talk. But hey, it is here. And we are going to be talking about the breast cancer awareness. I think October month is a breast cancer awareness month. And so cancer, as they say, is the second leading cause of death in the world. And in 2024, more than 360,000 people will be diagnosed with breast cancer. But there's hope. There's hope. You know, advancements and early detection methods and support continue to increase the chances of survival. And so from today and in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be learning more about breast cancer, risk factors, treatment options, and how to minimize one's risk of ever having to face this horrendous disease. Now, Doc, would you please take us through the history of breast cancer?
Yes. The history of breast cancer. Just like you have stated, it's tragic to say the least. Mm. And the history itself is so sad. Mm. That's the way I can put it in my own words and in my own estimation of looking at the situation, especially as a woman also. The beginning of treating breast cancer, and that's what we really want to look at, what has been done. You've stated some of the things that are being done and how are they looking at the issue of breast cancer today. But when we look at it from behind, from history, we will see something very, very amazing and interesting. And that's the way I have seen it. And in my own thinking, it seems as if things are just going up and down, up and down in terms of treatments for cancer and caring for cancer patients. Now, I said it is disheartening. Back in 1955, we can say they still see breast cancer as being localized. But right from the beginning, breast cancer was seen as what today we can describe as a systemic disease. That is a disease that is all over, virtually, let us say, running in the entire body systems. The move and the quest to fight breast cancer in women can be dated far, far back to the 18th century when it was recorded at all. And the first record that we see was of three individuals, and one man was even among those three that was cited in what is called the Edmund Smith Papyrus, you know, when all of these documents were still found sculpted out of places and written down. And from what is going on from then, even now, the disease is ancient, very, very far in history. It's not something new at all. That's the first thing we need to know. It's not new. Since then, in the 18th century, that was the first document that was read. And what was described is still the way breast cancer is seen today. So it's an ancient disease. It has been mentioned in every period of recorded history. And physicians, they have consistently noted that breast cancer can be seen, can be detected by an untrained eye. That is, you and I that did not go into medical school, when we see breast cancer, we can know that, yes, this is breast cancer. Now, other fatal diseases, apart from cancer, yes, they take lives and so on. But this is the disease that people are even ashamed to report that they have. It could be because, you know, the breast of a woman, from the perspective of reproduction and beauty, nurturing, and all sexual obligations, the breast constitutes a very, very important part of the woman, especially. So it holds such cultural power that many will not even talk about it. And it's a taboo subject, so to say. And sufferers are even ashamed or they are embarrassed to openly discuss the disease. And this has made it difficult to even follow up. Where do you see cancer up until the time that we are talking about, only in medical journals, even up until 1970, according to the material that I'm looking at to bring out this history. Medical journals are the only ones discussing breast cancer. And yes, the disease has become very, very, very difficult thing to behold. But let's look at a little bit of what those who have looked at it in ancient times have seen.
Yeah.
The disease 3,500 years ago. That's a long time ago. 3,000.
That's a long time ago.
Two gentlemen, Edwin Smith and George Ebers, they gave descriptions that are still the same way that we can describe breast cancer today. And another described it as bulging tumors in the breast and said that there is no cure. Today, if they tell a woman or even a man you have cancer, talk less of breast cancer, it brings such fear that some people have died as a result of the fear. So it has been in ancient times. Do you know that breast cancer even dates back to the time of Hippocrates? 460 BC. Yes.
Wow.
The father of Western medicine. He described breast cancer as a humoral disease. In other words, Hippocrates saw breast cancer that it had four humors. You know how things are described in the time of Hippocrates: blood, phlegm, yellow bile, and black bile. And the black bile is the one that the breast cancer comes with. Why? Because cancer was caused, he said, by excess black bile.
Okay.
Or melanchol, as they call it in those long time English words. And for Hippocrates, he said the appearance of an untreated breast cancer will be black and hard. Well, if you have never seen breast cancer before, I pray you don't see it actually, because that's just the way it is. When it is untreated and it is just last stage, because in my own practice and help with those who have had disease, I've got to the point where it's just very difficult because some will not talk about it until the very last stage. And what Hippocrates was describing is what it will look like at that stage. I've had people send me pictures. I have relatives see what is happening and this description and fits it very well. And so you see, Hippocrates said, he gave the name Carcinos, and that word in Greek means crab. Because the tumors, they seem like they have tentacles. If you have ever seen the picture of cancer cells, it's the same thing. They look like crabs. And of course, many bacteria also have that shape. And the Hippocrates felt like if you touch it, that is by removing it by surgery, it is more dangerous. That those that they do so, that they remove the tumor, they perish quickly. That is, they die very quickly compared to those who did not try to remove the tumor. Right then, Hippocrates believed that treat cancer as a systemic disease. Don't try to cut it out, because when you do, women who go through that, they die quickly. In natural science, sorry, I'm bringing it back and forth to present day, because
that's okay.
That hope
that's all
right. You mentioned, we must not forget to just keep mentioning that hope. So that people don't give up when they have the diagnosis of cancer. That back then, there were debates about how to take care of cancer. So that by AD 200, Galen, who was Hippocrates' successor, he said cancer is excessive black bile. But unlike Hippocrates, Galen realized that some tumors were more dangerous than others. He discussed a wide range of pharmaceutical agents to treat cancer. So from the beginning, breast cancer patients have been facing difficulty. What was Galen doing? He was using such things like opium, castor oil, licorice, sulfur, and so many types of salves and incantations to the gods. So for these humoral physicians, I thought you wanted to say something.
No, that's the go ahead, Doc. I was just amazed at how far back is this coming from, eh?
Yes, it's really far back. So Galen will add incantations to applying so many things and to the tumor to try to help. So these humoral physicians, that is those who believe that it is the humor that is in the person that is causing the cancer and trying to cut it off will just make it worse because it is just circulating entirely around the body. Mm. So for Galen and physicians, up until the next 2,000 years after AD 200, breast cancer was a systemic disease, which meant it was a disease of the entire body, not just one localized part.
Yeah.
And the death bar was believed to course throughout the entire body. So even if a tumor were removed, the bar would still remain in the body, ready to create more tumors.
Mm. Mm.
Now, we are seeing the same picture today, albeit that there have been differences as time has been till now as to the treatment of cancer. So until the 17th century, before physicians then threw out Galen's theory and finally felt like, no, we can bring it out if we get it on time. You know, you mentioned that early detection and all the rest. What we do with that early detection is the key to survival. At that time, 1680, French physician Franco de Labor Silvius, what he began to do is that he began to challenge Hippocrates and Galen's theory that it was humor and it was circulating through the body. He felt like, well, if we can catch it on time, we can remove it and then we can help the person. Mm. So what did he begin to do? He began to go through removing the breasts and nerves, glandular tissues, even the lymph vessels. Now, some of the things I'm saying, it may seem too technical, biological term for some of our listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it simply means is that since 1730s, they began to use surgery. They disapprove of the humoral theorists.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that let's remove enough. In fact, reading it alone for me is so, I'm sorry, it's so distasteful.
Yeah.
It is so sad. But what they did was that they began to remove not only the breast, all of the axillary muscles around it. In fact, some went so far as to remove the upper part of the shoulder. Now, what is the person going to look like? Excuse me. What is this person going to look like?
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say. Pardon me. Because some began to bring up the theory that, well, it's because a woman is not sexually active. That's why she's having cancer. It's because she didn't have children. That's why she can have cancer. But that theory cannot be proved because regular sex and cancer, I mean, they found that some people who are practicing vigorous sex still had cancer. So how then can you say that it is lack of sex that will result in cancer? And that was because they found some nuns who had cancer. And sometimes finding a localized problem, some people will come to a general conclusion, which many times will be negated by more evidences. So the non-sexual theory was debunked after some time, and they claimed that they can just go ahead and remove the tumor and get rid of all of the muscles around. But do you know what then happened after this era? They then found one physician who removed the ovary of a woman and found that the tumor shrank as a result of the removal of the ovary. So what happened next? That one took over and they began to remove ovaries, began to remove eggs, began to remove organ parts, organ, and several body parts. And did that help the situation? It did not. Because cancer, to all evidences that we have seen before us, it's not a local tumor. It has gone round far into the body. So the radical mastectomy, the removal of several organs in the woman's body. In fact, there are times some of the physicians, they said they don't need to cut just a little bit. They want to do a total mastectomy that will remove everything in bulk, block out, remove the underarm lymph nodes because they know the lymph. The lymph are the circulatory systems that push out unwanted excess protein from the body, and they are needed to be able to do all of this as their part of the normal process of the body. I don't want to be too technical here, but this one did not help because some people amputate the shoulder. Now, if you amputate shoulder, then it means you have no hands.
Mm.
And then what is the person living for? When this person was challenged, Halstead is his name, physician, he dismissed all of these things that say, well, most of the women who they were doing these things to were nearly 55 years. And they are no longer active members of society.
Yeah.
When I read this, my head wanted to just come off my
goodness.
Head. 55, they are no more active members of society. Do you know men and women who at the age of 60, 65, 70, societies are still being blessed by their works? And this is the theory that we have seen in time past. And so they just continue to amputate. Radical mastectomy were done up until 1949. They will remove the breast, the axillary nose. These are all the nodes that are the chest muscles. These are lymph nodes. The one I say circulates excess protein out of the body.
Yeah.
The internal mammary nodes. In a single procedure, everything will be brought out and gotten rid of. So now I said, a Scottish surgeon, he discovered that when he removed ovaries from one of his patients, he shrank her breast tumor. So news spread and other surgeons began to do what is called prophylactic oophorectomies. That is, even before a woman detects cancer in her body, they remove her ovaries so that she will not have cancer.
Right.
That is prophylaxis.
Okay.
They removed ovaries.
Yeah.
They removed so many organs in the body. I mean, for me, it's not funny. To the extent, some even today removing pituitary glands. And so what happened? The vision is affected. They remove adrenal gland. They call it adrenalectomy. Anything removed, you see, Tommy in medical terms, it's remover. And usually total remover. So whenever this is done, it's impaired vision, personality changes, cognitive difficulties. Even these extreme surgeries, this tumor still returned to kill. That's the sad part. With all of those surgeries that were done, the tumor still returned to kill. Well, that's an important lesson that I would like us to just let sink in. Because when we look at that and we look at what is going on even today?
Yeah.
Regular, I call it regular, in quotes, way of treating breast cancer has not solved the problem. It's still coming back to kill. And I would like our listeners to stay with us so that we can look at what actually can prevent and cure cancer. That's a very bold word to say, to use in today's world. Very, very bold. But we can actually, the better we prevent, the better. And we can prevent breast cancer. And it's very, very simple to prevent breast cancer. Because history that we have looked at is showing us very clearly that the solution is not there. We don't have that solution that is claimed to be available to help to get rid of cancer. I know our time has gone very, very fast.
Yeah,
and I know that the most important point we have gained is that from time past, solutions were not found. Have we found solutions today? I say yes.
Wow. Okay. We're going to have to now start right on that point next week. But for today, Doctor, I would want to say thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. God bless you and have a wonderful, blessed Sabbath.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.